is CBS Eye on the World. Here's John Batchelor.
This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. Out of Kyiv, this report. Situation at Zaporizhzhia nuclear power plant is deteriorating every day. This is Dateline within these last hours. According to State Nuclear Regulatory Inspectorate, the London version of this gives us more detail. Russian troops dismantling nuclear power station, sparking fears for safety of plant. Subhead, Russian troops around the Zaporizhzhia nuclear power plant attacked the city of Nikopol and surrounding villages on the bank of the Dnieper River with drones and heavy artillery, damaging several residents. The Russians are operating in a combat zone, and they're occupying a nuclear power plant that is fragile, to say the least. Henry Sokolsky, the executive director of the Nonproliferation Policy Education Center, joins me now because Henry has been helping me follow this story for months. We repeat ourselves each week because it appears from the outside that the Russians have thought through what possession of this Zaporizhzhia nuclear power plant means in terms of a potential battlefield, disrupting any offensive by the Ukrainians and creating a no-go zone in the Dnieper River Valley. Henry, a very good evening to you. I see nothing new here except for a restatement of the same alarm we've had for some time. Your measure of all states, not just Russia and Ukraine, all states, are they showing education in watching what's going on in Ukraine about their own nuclear power plants? Good evening to you, Henry.
Good evening. It's a mixed bag. I think in Central or Eastern Europe, there is this standard saw being generated that, well, security and nuclear energy are synonymous because they're a substitute for Russian natural gas. So build, baby, build is their refrain. And by that, I mean, let's see how many reactors we can get from the Koreans, South Koreans, the Americans, maybe the French. And there's a paper bidding war going on to build, are you ready for this, more than 40 of these things in places like Poland and Romania and Ukraine. I have to say that strikes me as optimism on steroids. I call it the nuclear tulip market. And the reason I say that is a lot of these reactors are just figments of engineering planning. They're not licensed to operate anywhere, much less for export. But, you know, they're optimists. Maybe they're right. And maybe they'll get built, some of them. But all of them are going to potentially become at least as interesting as future targets for any Russian or Belarusian, I suppose we may have to worry, war planner, if we're to understand the solidification and consolidation of enmity between NATO states and Russia. Now, if you go to East Asia, things look a little bit more sensible.
Yes, let me read the headline that you gave to me, Henry. This is from Global Construction Review. China halts floating nuclear power plan over security fears. Explain, Henry.
When people talk about small modular reactors, which, you know, is an abstraction, mostly what they're talking about is the adaptation of naval reactors, at least initially, in some fashion or another. And some of those, of course, go in submarines, but some of them are floating reactors. The Russians actually have one, and the Chinese wanted to build some as well. It could be, and I am very much speculating, that seeing the events unfold in Ukraine, the Chinese have been a little more sensitive to the concerns of their neighbors, Vietnam, probably, I'm guessing, Philippines, and seeing environmental hazards and having these reactors floating around in the South China Sea, helping what are essentially man-made military bases. And they thought, you know, people, are, you know, like the Americans, if we get into war, might fire at these things. How are you going to deal with that? And I think the Chinese thought the better of all this and came to the conclusion, let's unplug that project. And that's what they decided to do. And they've been very explicit that their concern is that they would become military targets. Now, if the Chinese are worried about small modular reactors that float in what, after all, is a sea of water, which, you know, would help mitigate a loss of coolant accident, if you will, why shouldn't we be at least as concerned about building them in war zones and other places like South Korea, Taiwan, or Eastern Europe on land? Well, that's the question I don't think that's yet been raised. And I sure as heck am of the view no one's bothered to think about the possible answers.
Elon Musk, always in the news. I'm speaking with Henry right now, thanks to Elon Musk's Starlink system. It works very well out in rural America. Is a primary or a backup for a system of wired into internet. However, I learned from Henry that there's new thinking about Starlink. This is not a bauble for the well-to-do. This is a security system that is extremely successful in Ukraine. And if I understand, Henry, the thinking now is that it's a universal security system that is both a legitimate target and a legitimate weapon. Is that the way to think of this?
I think so. And the announcement that the Pentagon is going to pay Musk for additional terminals for Ukraine out of a fund that is a security fund, not a AID, U.S. International Development Fund, tells you all you need to know, that these things are being used as the Russians have accused us and the Ukrainians of, to help guide Ukrainian drones, attacks, and to assess and communicate from the battlefield. There's no doubt that that is true. What's been sensitive and worrisome for the commercial space sector internationally is admitting that these peaceful satellites can be used for very military purposes. The cat's out of the bag with this contract, this latest news item. And I think from here on out, everyone in the space commercial sector needs to understand that they need to contemplate that their product literally will be in the crosshairs in future wars.
What I like about Starlink is there's an app that I can use to watch the satellites swim overhead of New England. There are so many, and they're adding them all the time. And there are other systems out there, other competing systems. This seems a great advantage to war planners worried about losing communication.
It is, but. And, you know, for every strength, there is a link in the chain that can be played at. The question of jamming, the question of possibly gulp, you know, putting large explosives into space, you know, becomes the next headache you got to start a hedge against. Long story short, the fat lady has not yet come out on this, and it's a drama we want to watch.
Henry Sokolsky, Non-Proliferation Policy Education Center. I'm John Batchelor.